This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Episode 1501.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing.
Friday episode of the show, The Fantasy Footballers, with you, Mike, the Fantasy Hitman, right, Jason Moore. I'm Andy Holloway. We ship Kyle back to Atlanta. Producer's alley, still full.
You can't empty it out. They're like cockroaches.
Yeah. Cockroaches, that's right.
We have a jam-packed episode for you today. As little recap of last night's game as possible, we promise you that. That is our commitment to you. There's only one thing.
Right. Say it, Mike.
It's Foreman time, baby.
Okay.
Woo!
All right.
I don't know what I thought when, like, I know a lot of our listeners have Deonta Foreman that aren't Mike, and for them I was very happy. For Mike, I was devastated. Yeah. I didn't want it to work out.
No.
I mean, literally, like there was nothing to
it almost did not.
There was one offensive touchdown in the ballgame.
Mm-hmm. Foreman.
It was Deonta Foreman. There was a blue tent injury moment, which was...
Oh, my goodness. Also Foreman.
Deonta Foreman. There, and yet...
And game.
Yeah, I mean, it was really very seriously hard to watch.
I would say that DJ Moore was fine. This is kind of what you hope for, which is...
And Cole Kmet was fine.
Yes, Cole Kmet and DJ Moore were fine. 9 targets for DJ Moore, 7 for Cole Kmet. But they, you know, when you end 5 for, you know, 58, 5 for 45, that's like,
this
great they didn't goose me, but I move on and I'm super unhappy.
You were not happy if you started Chuba Hubbard. I guess you were okay in PPR with Adam Thielen because he had 10 targets, caught 6 passes.
What up, guys?
Yeah, look.
I'm wearing out.
There was nothing. You know, there was nothing he could do.
I'm so sleepy.
He likes the voice way too much.
The problem was it was a night game. Have you thought about that?
It was past my bedtime.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he wants to be in bed by 6, and he's like, I gotta stay up too late. Give me morning games.
It was gross. Bryce Young is too skittish in the pocket, can't throw downfield. The team doesn't do him any favors. I don't understand. Like, in my opinion, and it was made clear last night by losing to the Bears 16-13, I think the Panthers will 100% have the number one pick. Like, that is, I think you can almost lock it away. I've looked at their schedule. I don't think they win another game. Arizona's going to win at least another game.
So the Bears have the number one pick.
No, the Bears have the Bears are 3 and oh yeah.
So the Bears
oh yeah
have the number one pick.
Yeah, whoops.
Which then
wow, they helped themselves last night in more than one way.
Yeah, they did the right thing for the process. Not that they weren't trying to win, which I don't think we want to jump into it right now. But if the Panthers have the number one overall pick, which means the Bears do, it turns into a real discussion on Justin Fields.
There's no discussion.
Yeah,
you move on.
They will move on. Keep in mind the Bears also got DJ Moore in that deal, and Darnell Wright, and Tyreek Stevenson, and the 2024 first round pick, and the 2024 fourth round pick from the Eagles, and a 2025 second round pick. But the Panthers got Bryce Young. So
look,
it's
the cost of doing business when you think there's a franchise quarterback on the board.
And I'm not willing to say like Bryce isn't going to develop. I think he can develop. I do. I'm worried. And the general manager, have you seen the comments about Bryce Young from their leadership talking about not needing wide receivers? Have you seen these comments?
No.
So before the draft drafted Bryce Young, they basically said like, look, this guy is so accurate. And he picks his spots and he distributes the ball around. He literally said, we don't need to spend money at the wide receiver position.
But you did.
Because, no, they didn't really. I mean, yes, Adam Thielen got paid a little bit of money, but they had cleared out their wide receiver room. They've gone with, you know, Terrace Marshall and Jonathan Mingo and, you know, Thielen is not the headliner. But the whole philosophy of like, hey, we can save money there because of Bryce Young is what he said. And we can save money over here because of Bryce Young.
That's not
how you're going to need to spend a little bit of money to get this boy some weapons and some protection.
See, that's the bigger one to me is I think in the pocket, and the stats bore it out last night, like in the pocket, Bryce Young is fine. But when he's on the move.
There is no pocket.
Yeah, there is no pocket.
There is no pocket.
So that's the bigger problem.
Yeah, I mean, they make bad pass rushes look like superstar defenses. To be fair to Bryce Young, who I've already said I'm very pessimistic. I don't think it's going to work out. I do not believe that. It's too young to be definitive. But for his defense, I mean, that guy has the defensive line in his face in 2 seconds.
I think the Bears had 10 sacks on the year, and they had 4 last night. So who develops into a better quarterback? This is thrown out by Al Borland. You might know him.
Okay.
Bryce Young or Jordan Love, who ends up the better quarterback?
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
Bryce okay. Young will have all the time.
Sorry, Packers. Not what I wanted to hear from us.
And it's more of a who's going to get the real opportunity. Like Jordan Love, if there is a chance for the Packers to move on next year, they might take it. Bryce Young is the quarterback for the Panthers for the foreseeable future.
I think Jordan Love's a better quarterback today.
Yeah.
I do believe that. Yeah. Jointhefoot.com. Had a new Footcast episode yesterday. You get a bonus episode every week if you become a supporter of the show. Huge shout out to everybody that put together Show 1500 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our writing staff, all the contributions that they have made, and to the producers who they plotted getting the Borgogan into town for the show in such a way that was way over the top. Like, we are not
unnecessary.
We are way more aloof than you think we are.
They're changing time zones and Slack and putting him in a closet on Zoom.
Yeah, it was miserable for him. I mean, he was locked away.
Yeah. You could have just, like, probably sat him in one of those chairs and I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, just put a mask on him. And we'll be like, oh, hey, Brooks.
Yeah.
We have a ton of matchups today. We have the fantasy face-off and the Wheel of Shame, and I am apparently the loser.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking forward to that. I'd hate if there was a power outage and the show ended early, but you can find us on the artist formerly known as Twitter at the FF Ballers, at Andy Holloway, at Jason FFL, at FF Hitman. And it was fun. Yesterday's show was a lot of fun. All right. It is Friday.
Foot Clan Friday.
Every week on Friday, we take a moment to give away $100, a gift card to fantasychamps.com, to a supporter of the show at jointhefoot.com. Today's winner is DD711.
Oh, he's open.
Sweetie DD. DD711, $100. Congratulations. Thank you for supporting the show. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
All right, let's go through this. Josh Downs still didn't practice Wednesday. Thursday is the Germany game.
Yeah, that makes it, to me, seem less likely he's going to play. There's going to be extra travel involved. If he's not practicing on Thursday, they're going to need to fly early. TBD, but expect to be without him.
I discovered a new cardio champion, by the way. I think maybe the cardio champion of the season.
What?
This is a player that plays 100% of snaps, and you would be shocked to find that out.
And his name?
Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce is playing that much?
Yeah, because I went and looked at the waiver wire, and I sorted by snap percentage, something I do from time to time.
Interesting.
And there's Alec Pierce playing basically every snap of the game in every game that he plays. Could you have ever imagined that?
No.
If I had told you Alec Pierce had been injured all year, would you have believed that was a possibility?
Yeah, 32 targets on the season right now, 17 total receptions.
That has to feel so bad.
I mean, like, he is just running down the field.
94% of all offensive snaps
for the year,
right? For the year, yeah.
That's insane.
I know you're a pro, and you're getting paid pretty well, but your dream was to be a football player and help your team win. If you're out there every snap and you know you're never going to get the ball.
And we said
that has to feel so bad.
We said that they're the only team to score 20 plus points in every game this season. And he's like, why am I here?
Hey, I'll bet he's an excellent blocker.
Well, he's also, I mean, it's all part of the machine of getting Michael Pittman open. So he's helping the team, but
I actually think he's a good player. So, but maybe I'm wrong because 10% target per route run. Yeah, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. Higgins not expected to play, now labeled week to week, Mike. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's great. Let's if he's week to week, let's rule him out.
Yeah, it is like, good news.
Get on top of this. If someone is week to week, they aren't playing.
Oh, so he's not even ruled out this week.
Oh no. He's not he's definitely not at practice today.
Yeah. He's not gonna play, but he will be ruled out eventually in time to make a waiver claim, not today, but by Sunday.
Yeah.
It's really good news because it's very difficult to sit a player like T. Higgins with that name, with that draft capital in your fantasy drafts when he's active, and you shouldn't.
We did bring up a couple weeks ago how we should probably change the fundamental parameters of our IR to allow for doubtful players to be put on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, you know, you can't manipulate that system, right? Like, if that player goes from doubtful to probable or active, to actually use them, you'd have to drop somebody. And, and it would maybe help prevent this issue where the teams don't declare a player out till really late in the week. Something to think about for your leagues. We haven't done it yet, but it makes sense to me.
I don't think it would help very much right now because he is listed as questionable.
Correct. Yeah, I mean,
can I convince you to let me put a questionable player on
no,
my
I'll do a T. Higgins only. T. Higgins is always eligible for IR. Jamar Chase returned to a limited practice. Hopefully we'll see him out there.
I think we do.
Damian Pierce didn't practice again. So no Wednesday, no Thursday. Nico Collins, no Wednesday, no Thursday.
Oof.
And did you say earlier today, did I catch that Robert Woods is back?
Yeah.
I thought you said that, but I didn't.
I thought Robert Woods was back and practicing. Am I incorrect in
Kyle,
that?
You need to dig into that for a minute.
If Nico's gone.
Thursday's practice, this is of 22 hours ago, from Aaron Wilson. Thursday practice, there's video including Blake Cashman, Laremy Tunsil, and Robert Woods.
Okay. Well,
so he's at least practicing. I don't know that he'll play, but.
It's worth noting more for Noah Brown because I think Noah Brown is probably a flex-worthy play alongside Tank Dell. And he might still be if Nico missed the game. But Damian Pierce, I don't think he's going to play. So it's Cincinnati. Both teams are banged up. Devin Singletary, I went and looked at those numbers last week.
Yeah.
That's some Alec Pierce type of stuff.
Yeah.
Very minimal production on almost every snap. Cincinnati's defense, pretty good. It's tough to not play a player that you know is going to be their starter. Why can't we get some like Deonta Foreman style action out of Singletary?
They're not playing the Panthers.
Limited practice for KJ Osborne. Could be back for the Vikings. TJ Hockenson limited with the ribs, but he will play. That's his plan. And good news here, considering he was the start of the week, but Drake London returned to a full practice on Thursday. The groin. Feeling good.
My groin. My groin feels good.
Yeah. Debo practiced in full. He's marked as healthy. Same with David Montgomery practiced in full. We should see Debo and David and Drake all back out there. The killer Ds.
Debo Samuel, I don't know if you realize this, but The three-game losing streak for the San Francisco 49ers coincides exactly with his absence. He played 15% of the games 15% of the snaps 3 games ago. They've scored 17 points in 3 straight games after basically averaging 30-plus points with him. So this is a big deal for me. I think Brock Purdy is a much better play this week.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is when you look at the situation for Brock Purdy and how we evaluate him as a quarterback, and you take away, like, he has Ayuk and Kittle and McCaffrey and Debo. And when he has those guys, he's very good. And then you took one away and we're like criticizing him. Again, Bryce Young has Adam Thielen, Chuba Hubbard, and Jonathan Mingo. So let's just like keep that in mind.
Terrace Marshall.
Like, let's be honest. How good would CJ Stroud be in Carolina right now? He'd be better than Bryce, but he wouldn't be that good.
He'd be struggling.
Yeah. That was, and I was, man, as a Cardinal fan, I was like, man, I wish that Carolina took Stroud. Houston took Bryce Young because our pick would be a lot better.
Whoops.
Ken Walker, full practice on Thursday. Tyler Lockett, back at practice. Jackson Smith and Jigba, back at practice.
Are we?
Ken Walker is.
I don't even know what to do with Ken Walker.
You play him.
Yeah, you play him.
You're talking about, you're at the perspective of, you don't have Ken Walker. And we have, in my Dino League, look, it's Dynasty, so I'm probably playing him. But the past 2 weeks, this is the game we have played of missing practice, being limited in practice. Oh, no, he's full and he's ready to go. And then he gets no snaps and no carries.
I will say this. Players like Ken Walker, who were top tier, top five options at the position to begin the year, are the most difficult to navigate for fantasy players at all. Because you kind of, it's like you put them on Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it's a lot of work.
It's in stone, man.
It's a lot of work to change that face, man. Like, you have to, and so then you don't want to be.
Got to hire a crew.
No, I mean, scaffolding, all that stuff. And it's tough because you don't want to put them on the bench and miss the week where they're the top five guy again. So they're kind of locked into your lineup.
Yeah, and
they probably should be.
He should be, absolutely. It would take something special to be able to bench him. You're not benching him for Devin Singletary or Ezekiel Elliott, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, those were two names that are worthy of bringing up there. But if you had benched him for Deonta Foreman, you would have been happy.
Sure.
That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Fantasy Forecast.
Yesterday, show 1500, we covered the Colts, Patriots, Texans, Bengals, Saints, Vikings, Packers, Steelers, Titans, Buccaneers. It's hard for me to see the Patriots name there and not think about the Bill Belichick video that is circling right now.
Oh, there's a Bill video?
I am unaware.
Oh, please share.
Is no one in this office aware of this video?
I don't know of one.
There's just, I mean, it's really not good content for the show, but like McAfee was talking about it, there's this like there's this Ring doorbell video of Belichick that got out for some reason.
Oh, I'm looking at it.
Oh, oh no.
Oh yes.
And like they don't know if this is like a Belichick walk of shame video because he like leaves this house with no shirt on.
Okay.
And we don't think it's his house. It's just kind of funny. Because this is Bill Belichick, so oh, we don't know for sure. But okay.
Well, if you want to see Bill Belichick without a shirt on,
yeah, it's just it was a funny conversation. It was worth a listen.
Huh.
Bill's just doing it. I mean, because you know Bill, longtime girlfriend, they broke up, so he's probably playing the field.
Hey. All right,
he also looks like pretty good for 70. I would say
he's 70.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he could still play some linebacker or something. All right, the 49ers, 5-3, take on the 6-2 Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm sorry I brought that up. I apologize. Nobody needs to see that. DraftKings Sportsbook line, San Francisco, -3. The over-under is 45 points. Jacksonville, 5 straight victories. San Francisco, 3 straight losses. Games in Jacksonville. Brock Purdy, I think it's going to be pretty good.
I agree.
He's my start of the week.
Would you start him or Trevor Lawrence in the same game?
Geno Smith. Yeah.
I would start. I had Geno Smith, and I made a trade with Andy this morning to acquire Brock Purdy to start over him while Jalen Hurts is on bye.
Yeah, that's what.
So these are where the jokes are coming from. But Trevor Lawrence is the obviously much higher touted, higher drafted, both in NFL and in fantasy circles.
My answer is Purdy.
I agree completely. I mean, if you look at this winning streak for Jacksonville, they've been playing really, really, really good football. The highest he's been is quarterback 10, but the majority of times during that stretch, Trevor Lawrence has been the quarterback 16, 16, 17. He is not – he hasn't broken 20 fantasy points a single time this season. He is not a fantasy star right now. Travis Etienne gets all the touchdowns.
I do think the quarterback position, Mike, is pretty much the only thing worth discussing because you start all of your studs in this matchup on both sides. It's a nice over-under. It's two offenses that can move the ball. I know Ridley's been hot and cold. That's just...
Start him. Start him. Yeah. The 49ers are a surprisingly great matchup for opposing wide receivers. They've given up a ton of points. Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, both absolutely start them.
Agreed. And yeah, all your core players, including the tight ends, Evan Ingram, George Kittle, Mike, everyone's in?
I have no disagreements. My only note, as I've kind of been making the last few weeks, Zay Jones was limited in practice. If you have a space to just put him on your bench and see what happens, I think it's a smart move.
Cleveland's 5-3. The Baltimore Ravens are 7-2. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Baltimore minus 6.5 at home. The over-under is 38 points. You know, that's a big line.
That is.
But it's going to come true, I think. I don't have the confidence. Look, Deshaun Watson, if you watched the film last week, outstanding on deep balls. Like, a lot of them. A lot of downfield throws. Like, I watched every one of them. Everyone was accurate. Every downfield throw.
Yeah, it was very nice.
It was great.
How were the underneath? Intermediate and underneath throws?
I don't know. It's like noodle arm. It's like he used the left hand on all the underneath throws, and he threw right-handed downfield.
It makes no sense. It's something with the shoulder when he's throwing when he's not, like, giving it everything he's got. I mean, those throws were just awful.
Mike made the point that his feet are a problem right now, and I agree with that. Like,
yeah,
his downfield throws by necessity, right? To throw the ball far, he planted his feet and made accurate throws down the field. Everything underneath is, like, a little bit scrambly. You know, like he's running left, running right, and those balls look bad. So,
yeah, I'm not a quarterback coach by any means, but I mean, I've been around the game long enough that your feet, your passing starts with your foundation. And my hunch is that Deshaun Watson has been able to get away with some bad mechanics just over the course of his career. And right now, with his injury, he cannot.
Yeah, and maybe if the arm's not strong enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, and let's not sell this short. Mike is a championship-winning
coaching
head coach.
Yes.
For
multiple.
For his children. So
so big time, which I yell at my quarterback all the time, think about your feet. And it's because I know if
do
that.
You?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. If I watch my kid, and if the throw was off, I know. I just know you weren't planted.
Case closed. This is two of the best defenses in the NFL. I saw the MVP odds. Mm-hmm. They came out, and to me,
Lamar has to be up there.
Yeah, I don't know where he fit in the scope. It was, you know, all the normal names. It was like, you know, Burrow, Mahomes,
Allen,
Hurts,
Allen. Is Allen still in there?
Yeah, Allen. Okay. But to me, you know, it's hard for me to say that Myles Garrett's not the most valuable player in the NFL. Or up there. And I know that doesn't work, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. But Cleveland's been held up by their defense. They've had turnover, you know, quarterback injuries and stuff like that. I'm a little surprised Baltimore's given, you know, 22.5 points against the Cleveland defense. But they've also been kind of a machine right now. Yeah, right now, Lamar
is the betting favorite.
Along with Hurts and Mahomes. They're okay. Tied. Yeah. And then Tua and Burrow behind him and McCaffrey, Allen, and Lawrence. Quarterbacks win it. But Myles Garrett's been incredible. Baltimore has been a bit of a, like, when you talk about Lamar's fantasy output, it's been Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
Gus Edwards has been getting into the end zone. That's what he does. Keaton Mitchell, offensive coordinator came out this week and said he's earned more touches in the offense. I think he absolutely will get them in this game.
Yeah.
But it's not a good matchup. And so you're looking at Keaton Mitchell and you are playing the scratchers card. And you get like 10 scratches. And if none of them hit, I think you're going to be sad.
Yeah, I was talking about him on a radio show this morning in a gold versus fool's gold segment. And I think he is gold that is unmined. You can't put him in your lineup this week, but you want him on your bench. I believe the talent will win out and he will supplant Justice Hill. But, you know, the Browns right now, they're giving up so few points, so few fantasy points. If you split that three ways between Gus Edwards and Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell, I don't really want to play any of these guys. And it feels a little weird to not start Gus Edwards, considering the stretch he's been on. Like, how do you take a guy who's been the running back 6, running back 1, running back 7 the last 3 weeks and possibly bench him? But if you have good other options, I am personally willing to bench Gus Edwards in this matchup against the Browns.
Small update, Brooks is pointing out, Keaton Mitchell was not on the injury report on Wednesday, and then he was listed as limited today with a hamstring, which...
Thursday,
thank you, Brooks. And Mitchell has had some injury problems already throughout the season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a difficult situation for all the running backs on both sides of the ball in this game. Like, Jerome Ford got a ton of snaps last week. I like Jerome Ford moving forward. I don't like him in this game. I like Keaton Mitchell moving forward. I don't like him in this game. Hunt, Edwards, very playable moving forward. I don't like him in this game.
Yeah.
In fact, you pointed this out yesterday, Jason, and it hit. You didn't even – it's like, let's not even talk about these options for Carolina's run game because of what they had in front of them. And if you had just avoided it – I mean, Miles Sanders was 2 for -5.
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard was not worth it. So be careful there.
I would avoid all the running backs in this game. If I had to start one, I would pick Jerome Ford of both teams.
Mike, is there a player on the Cleveland Browns on the offensive side that you're confident with this week?
I'm confident in Amari Cooper. I know that the matchup says beware because the Ravens are 4th schedule adjusted against wide receivers, 1st against quarterbacks. But the connection with Watson and Amari Cooper has been so strong that I'm willing to put him out there. And
you're avoiding all the wideouts on the Baltimore side.
You have to.
It feels like you play Amari Cooper from the Browns. You play Mark Andrews from the Ravens.
Right. You just play the ones.
And Lamar, you can throw in there because, you know.
You will.
You're going to. And then otherwise, you probably try to move away from this game.
If I was dart throwing with the wideouts, I would dart throw with Odell. Let me just throw that out there. But I try not to. Like Odell Beckham or Wandale Robinson?
Wandale.
I'll go Beckham.
All right, quick break. Back with the Falcons-Cardinals, which is actually an interesting matchup to talk about.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not. but our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
All right, Arthur Sith.
Arthur Sith.
Coming to the desert.
If you weren't with us on the footcast yesterday, that name came up for Arthur Smith. The Sith. Arthur Sith.
You have something against the Sith.
Yeah, no, they're the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Are they?
Oh, get out of here with your nerd stuff.
Falcons are 4-5. Cardinals are 1-8. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Atlanta -2. The over-under is 43. You know, it's been a while since Atlanta came to Arizona. Kyler was a rookie, 2019. Kyler's going to start. And that's the exciting storyline from this game.
We just got breaking news. I'm not going to hit the button, but head coach Gannon officially said Kyler Murray's going to start.
Yeah, the advantage that's led them to a 1-8 season has evaporated.
He needs to get the clown show out of his personality.
Let me lay out what's going on in Arizona for the rest of the year. This is the moment for Kyler Murray from now until the end of the season to define himself as a professional quarterback for Jonathan Gannon and Monty Austin Fort and the new Cardinals regime, and whether he is a fit for what they plan to do, because they're going to have a high draft pick. Even if they don't end up with the number one pick, they'll have the ability to move up to one if they wanted to. Like, if they wanted to move on and you want to swap the 3 or the 4 and a pick in the future because you feel like you need a player that defines your culture, they could do it. Kyler has the rest of the season to prove that, and it changes everything about the Cardinals. The Cardinals were the equivalent of, you know, Bagent and ripping farts, which you brought up early in the week. But now it's Kyler, and that means new life for Hollywood Brown. It means potential for Trey McBride to stay consistent throughout the rest of the season. James Conner is returning. So my take on this game is that there will be moments for Kyler. I do not think it will be a consistent game for Kyler Murray. There's a lot of rust, 10 months, confidence in the knee. He is the kind of quarterback that goes down pretty quick with pressure. He has been traditionally. I think it's only going to be exacerbated by the knee and trying to make sure he doesn't hurt himself again. It's just a tough situation. And, you know, Jason has tremendous confidence this week against Atlanta. I understand it. I am not there. I am not willing to play him this week. But that, there you go. I mean, you know, Kyler has the weapons and the talent, whether it's on display this week. Mike, I'd love to know your opinion because we've both made ours known.
For starting Kyler Murray?
Yeah, and his adjacent, you know, players.
The players. Hollywood Brown is in for me. It would take a pretty strong option to knock him out of my starting lineup. I'm more on Jason's side of it, of that I got Allen, Burrow, Dak, Lamar, Herbert, Goff. I have all those guys in front of Kyler, but other than that, I would take the chance. Like, Brock Purdy is I like Brock Purdy this week. I'm in agreement. But Brock Purdy is a 225 to 250 and 2 touchdowns. That's normally what he is. Where Kyler he could hit ceiling. And if you need ceiling, I think that the risk is worth it.
The number one start sit question on our website is Sam Howell or Kyler Murray this week. And Sam Howell is
I would go Kyler.
See, I'd play Sam Howell.
And I would obviously My place has been well known.
And I play Purdy, too.
I'm on Kyler over both of those guys. Josh Dobbs, weeks 2 through 7, averaged 17.7 fantasy points per game. Kyler is just flat better than Josh Dobbs. And Kyler can run the ball as well. Atlanta, schedule adjusted, is a really good matchup for running for quarterbacks, but also for mobile quarterbacks, for rushing quarterbacks that have hurt them a lot this season. And I think Kyler's going to run. I mean, his sportsbook line of rushing in week one is 26.5 rushing yards. That's the kind of expectation right now coming off the injury. So you've got the weapons coming back. James Conner will be out there. Hollywood will be out there. Trey McBride, Michael Wilson. I think in this matchup, you're going to have – this is a home game as well. So you're going to have a fired-up home crowd, and the kind of energy will be with the Cardinals. So, I mean, that's narrative street, but Kyler's always been good when he's been on the field.
I don't have the confidence that he's going to run like Josh Dobbs was running in his first game back from an ACL. I don't.
Right, but if he hits just around the over-under, that is a really nice baseline of, you know, an extra 2.5 points just added on to the floor.
Taylor Heinicke on the other side, Bijan, Algier, Drake London back, Johnny Smith and Kyle Pitts. I mean, the Atlanta like situation is
it's like you can kind of start them.
Yeah, and it's like we're just stuck in this delusion, right? Like we're stuck in this place where logic tells us that something should change. Like he'll get it. Like someone will hit him in the head. And then he
shaved the mustache, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, he also spent 5 minutes talking about Tyler Algier being a great goal line back, which he's a pretty good one. Drake London I like because there isn't a primary target outside of him this week. You're splitting. Like, honestly, could any of you say with, like, conviction which tight end do you think is going to have more fantasy points between Johnny Smith and Kyle Pitts?
No way. And the Cardinals, under this new coaching staff, have been pretty good against the tight end position, very bad at wide receiver. So Drake London, to me, I know he's your start of the week. I think he's an excellent play.
Bijan, you're going to play him?
For sure.
Algier, because the Cardinals are one of the worst teams against the run, I think he is flex-worthy. I think he's in the Zeke, Devin Singletary category.
100%. This is do the Falcons get inside the five-yard line? If the Falcons get inside the five-yard line, then Tyler Algier will have a touchdown.
They are also favored. Like, they are favored to win the game on the road, and so you'd think that if they got out to a lead, you know, the running game is going to be featured. I don't like Heinicke that much, because I don't think there's a lot of ceiling. Because as soon as they get a lead, I think he wants to turtle up. So Heinicke throwing 2 touchdowns seems long odds to me. Cardinals would love to give it up. They'd love to give up 2 to 3 touchdowns. So maybe he's a dart throw.
Yeah, I think that he's a desperation streamer.
You never heard that before, Brooks?
No, I hadn't heard that.
He just asked me if he said, did you just say turtle up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you never heard of turtling?
Yeah. No, guess not.
Hide in your shell.
Where do you think that originated, that concept? Turtling?
Of turtling?
Yeah, turtling.
From the animal?
Yeah, I think it originated with the turtle.
Yeah. The animal, it has a protective armor.
And so you see and when it can kind of go in. And then it's like, oh, he's protected.
He's turtling.
He's turtling up. That's my guess. We haven't looked this up. Did you look this up?
A turtle can turtle. A turtle can turtle.
No, I didn't.
You didn't look it up?
I did not confirm.
I didn't either. I'm on it. I'm on it.
No, you don't need to look it up.
Where did turtling up originate? It's the turtle.
Turtling. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Just letting you know.
And that's actually, it's from turtle.com.
Turtling up to go on the defensive. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, Bruce.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like that language has been used a lot in like RTS video games and stuff
You're saying who?
That is, yeah, I wasn't asking what a turtle is. You guys thought I said, what's a turtle? And then you told me what a turtle was.
Yeah, I mean, I know it from video games.
But apparently, I mean, that's been a thing for like warfare for a long time.
Yeah, makes sense.
From the turtle.
Yes.
We look to nature.
Look, the master of combat.
I'm looking at etymology. One is from turtle. So, yeah, that's the origin.
Thank you.
It's official.
It's official.
We got it.
Detroit is 6-2. They take on the 4-4 Los Angeles Chargers.
Just real quick, Andy, because you have kind of the least confidence in Kyler's return. Are you playing Trey McBride?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's when you don't have an offensive line and you have a guy that's coming off an ACL and you have a tight end out there on every single play. Like, I don't even think Trey McBride was that bad last week, and Clayton Tune was the worst player in the National Football League.
Question.
Five targets, 3 for 22. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So question. Are you playing Trey McBride in your DraftKings lineup?
Oh, you're trying to deduce. Yeah. This is Jason's new hobby. He thinks that he can figure out what I'm doing.
I'm usually right.
Because he wants to pivot to better choices, and so he wants to figure out some of the guys that I've played.
So, like, really low cash option, Trey McBride. You got going to have a super sweet pivot out of that?
I've got a different guy in mind.
Okay.
Mind.
He's
very, very popular start sit question right now on the website.
Ferguson.
Fergalicious or Trey McBride?
Ferguson.
Okay.
Ferguson.
Let me make sure.
Ferguson's a top five tight end over the last 3 weeks.
He's been great.
As is Cade Otton.
On the back of one monster.
If you have a two touchdown game, you can backtrack like a month. I mean,
was it two?
Top five over them.
It was two.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Well, the reason I even know that is because I was trying to figure out where. Yeah, I mean, six targets in back to back weeks, and then two touchdowns. I was trying to figure out where Dalton Kincaid kind of slotted in over the last 3 weeks since he's been performing. Detroit 6-2. The Chargers are 4-4. The game's in Los Angeles. The DK Sportsbook line: Detroit -3. The over under is 48.5.
This is nice. This is what I'm looking for.
Would you say you
don't?
I want this game.
You want this game? Oh man,
he's back. Yeah,
I already gave him the spread, so don't ask. Detroit, they get back David Montgomery full practice on Thursday. You should play David Montgomery.
Agreed.
You have learned that even when he doesn't have full practices, but he plays, he was really good. Jahmyr Gibbs, you got to play him. He's been on fire. Both players are very, very relevant, and you have a really thin wide receiver room. You know, I know you brought up Josh Reynolds as a sneaky start. There is another side to the coin, and that side is what he did last time out when he played a ton of snaps and was 1 for 13 with a fumble for negative points. So, like, other than Amon-Ra, you really don't have a lot of confidence in the wideouts. So then you turn to guys like Laporta and you turn to guys like Gibbs and say, hey, this offense is going to run through the most talented players on this team, Monty, Gibbs, Laporta, Brown. I'm kind of less enthusiastic about Josh Reynolds, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I'm not bullish on Josh Reynolds as like, oh, you got to pick him up and play him. But for a guy that could be on the waiver wire that I think is a fine start, obviously the last game was very bad, but that was against the Raiders where you run on the Raiders, you don't pass on them. The week prior was the Baltimore Ravens defense. This is a matchup where you target the wide receiver position against the Chargers. So I that's where I just think Josh Reynolds should have, 50-plus yards in this game off the waiver wire.
Justin Herbert, Jared Goff. Start him in a game with a good over-under.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mike's start of the week was Jared Goff yesterday. Eckler, of course. Keenan, yep. This is the game.
This is for Cuge?
This is the game. Now, I'm not saying I'm calling him to dominate in this game. What I'm saying is this is the game where I will, where I feel like it is a fair, it's a fair test to come in because it's high over-under. Detroit's going to put up points. They're going to need to throw the football. They're going to need to score.
They're not great against wide receivers.
And this is the game where, if you slide the paper across and say, is Quentin Johnson going to make it? I will check the yes or no box after this game.
Okay.
This is his moment. And we made a bet on the Footcast of at least 5 for 50.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnston.
5 for 50.
Which is a high bar for Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
And you and I made that bet, and I said that I thought he'd get there, and you said no, and everything points to no so far in his career.
Other than the matchup. This is a good matchup for him. I'm still not going to start him. This is a watch and hope it gets better from your bench.
There you go. I don't think that there's other discussions to be had here.
Jameson Williams, do you throw him in a DFS lineup? Or
I
don't.
I don't think so. I mean, he just – this isn't – this is – it's kind of similar to Cuge, except Jameson Williams doesn't get snaps. Like, he's disappointing first-round wide receiver who the team still only plays on 40% of the snaps.
It has been like, I have Detroit winning this game. I don't think the Chargers can score enough. They didn't look good last week. I know it was a tough matchup, but like, they have 9 total offensive touchdowns since they lost Mike Williams. I don't think it should be underestimated. Like, if Huge can't perform, they were getting production out of Joshua Palmer for that brief moment in time.
Yeah.
Now you have 2 wide receivers out. Mm-hmm. And like, Quentin Johnson and Jalen Guyton are not fixing that.
Agreed.
New York, 2-7. Dallas, 5-3. Oh, we've moved to 17 points.
Yeah. So 16.5 wasn't enough.
So
the DK Sportsbook line is Dallas minus 17 and the over-under is 38.5.
People have bet it up. They're like 16.5. Easy money.
We do picks every week here in the studio. And I saw that line and I laughed. And then I selected Dallas. So I am part of the betting it to 17. You know, this is tied for the largest spread since Arizona was an 18-point favorite against the Texans in 2021. I expected to hear something out of New York about solutions to their quarterback position. Mm-hmm. Did we hear anything?
Nope.
Do we have solutions outside of Tommy DeVito?
Danny.
Tommy Danny DeVito.
Thank you. No, there are no solutions. And even though they are only, what is, they're implied for 10.8 total points over the last month, they would have hit that low a bar only one time.
Well, why don't you send them to Dallas and make them play that defense on the road?
Yeah, and sometimes you can worry about a trap game. For instance, a team like Dallas could go on the road to Arizona and get shellacked. And so you go, okay, you worry about a trap game, about them letting up. But I love that this is a divisional game. Because it's divisional, there's extra juice. You don't really see trap games in division quite so often. I feel like Dallas really wants to send a message to the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, the problem here would be, I mean, the Giants' defense has been pretty decent. And Dallas could maybe score less than we hope from a fantasy perspective. Like,
but if
you put the game away on a defensive touchdown and one, you know, whatever it is, one Ferguson catch, you might just be able to turtle up.
Yes.
And win the ball game and not do, like, CeeDee Lamb could have a surprise bad game in this game.
Yeah, same with Ferguson. I think both of those guys, based on what they've done, you have to keep starting them, but I looked at them in DraftKings lineups and I was like, no, because you could see the game script going wrong. That's why Mike started the week and Tony Pollard, who's been bad, who I've been kind of down on. I mean, this should be a get right game for Tony Pollard. Should be awesome, because you expect, when you're a 17-point home favorite, a couple of rushing touchdowns.
This game, much like Andy was saying about holding out the piece of paper, you know, of,
is that what it is for Pollard?
It will, if Pollard does not come through this week, your confidence is going to plummet. It will crater.
Same thing went through my head when you mentioned Pollard at the start of the week. I'm going, well, panic alarm if he can't deliver this week. On the other side, it's Saquon and no one.
Yeah, and even that is just, you better light some prayer candles.
I mean, look, if you're down 37-3 in the first half or something, like, there'll be plenty of, like, we've seen it with DeVito. Like, he'll just dump it off. He'll be pass rush, dump it off, and Saquon could PPR his way to,
he could,
to value. I think Saquon's good for double-digit points in this game.
Oh, 100%. His floor is 10. He's getting too much work, but his ceiling, he's probably going to score between, like, 12 and 16 fantasy points and half PPR.
Since the injury, 17, 9, 12, 15 for Saquon. 3 of those 4 were losses. 3 of those 4 were under 10 points. And he still delivers.
Mm-hmm.
So at least in that regard, I'm not going to start Wandale. He garbage timed himself a touchdown last week. You have no confidence in the quarterback situation. Ferguson is a must start right now. CeeDee Lamb, of course. CeeDee Lamb has more fantasy points over the last 3 weeks than any player in fantasy, including quarterbacks.
Wow.
CeeDee Lamb has been...
CeeDee Lamb's a number one player in fantasy for the last 3 weeks.
He has taken a huge step.
And so, yeah, this one is going to be wild. It would. It's not going to be my almost upset. I'm sorry. I do think Dak will throw 2 touchdowns, so I think you're really safe with Dak. Washington is 4-5. The Seahawks are 5-3. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Seattle minus 6.5. The over-under is 44.5. if we want to keep the same refrain going about disappointments, DK Metcalf has not delivered on any of the draft day promises this year. Fantasy finishes over the last four starts, 25, 35, 42, 46. He had 14 targets last week. Somehow, that was not double-digit fantasy points. He had four targets last week. So I said that was the week before. Four targets last week, one catch. I don't know what's going on, but I think it has to do with Geno Smith not being a good quarterback right now.
Yeah, and obviously these players have been dealing with injury. Both Lockett and Metcalf have not practiced much. They've, you know, missed time. DK missed a game. So something is a little bit broken here, but I do agree that primarily it goes back to Geno Smith. Last year seemed like he
was the most accurate quarterback in the league last year.
Yeah, he was awesome, and this year it's not looking anywhere near as good. However, this is the perfect matchup. Over the last 6 weeks, you've got the Manders, who have given up the most points to the quarterback position. Even if you adjust for schedule on the season, they're the 30th best against quarterbacks. They got rid of their pass rush. So this should be a good game. This is why I like Tyler Lockett. I'm fine with DK Metcalf. I think Geno Smith, even though I traded for Brock Purdy and I would rather, I'm in a must-win scenario and Geno scares me. This should be a get-right game for him.
It should be. He's at home. It's funny because we're getting Geno this year. The Geno this year, numbers-wise, is what we thought we were getting last year with Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He is on pace for 19 touchdowns. His wide receiver options are outside the top 30.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were fine with Jackson, Smith, and Jigba coming to the party if the party was like, you know, it was one you wanted to attend. But now he comes and disrupts 19 touchdowns being distributed amongst his options. That is a much bigger issue. But, yes, you want to put it to the test at home against Washington, a matchup that is literally the best you could get from quarterbacks and wide receivers. If you don't get it this week, I think you're going to have a problem in Seattle.
Good. And you're playing Ken Walker, as we talked about. What are you doing with Charbonnet?
You're just benching him. He hasn't gotten enough opportunity. Even the snaps are there. He is not getting the opportunities when he's in the game to be fantasy relevant. So you can't possibly start him right here. You can't start Brian Robinson. All the middling options we've talked about, I would start Brian Robinson over all of those guys that we discussed today. This game could end up, I think, being a sneaky, fun, back-and-forth affair with Sam Howell and Geno Smith if Geno could get his act together. My only worry here, there is a high probability of rain in this game, but low winds.
Wait, lot of bit rain?
Lot of bit rain.
Oh, well, that's a lot of chance, a little bit rain.
Yes, lot of chance?
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Mike.
Lot of chance, little bit?
Lot of chance, little bit rain.
Wow.
Yeah, that's okay. Well said.
I agree, though. I mean, McLaurin, Dotson, I think they're both in play. Samuel, limited practice. Don't know if he's back out there yet. Logan Thomas was my start of the week at tight end. And away we go. Sunday Night Football, the Jets and the Raiders. So
Yay. We're
like, hey, Thursday Night Football was fun. Let's do this instead. Zach Wilson, prime time again.
The NFL, I feel like they're just trolling us now.
It's not good.
Because they're like, you're going to watch it. We'll put whatever we want on prime time and you'll watch it.
You know, we can flex it. We're not going
to. Yeah, no, we don't need to.
We're going
to
leave it.
Because guess what?
You're going to watch it.
You're going to watch it.
You know what killed me last night was that it was such a bad game and the refs were horrible.
Right.
There were flags all the time. Like, if you are the NFL and you're going to get some trash on TV, like, stop throwing the flags.
Yeah,
one cares.
NFL's got to call in down to the field and say, hey, guys, just let them play. Get this game over.
Let's get this over with.
Do not stop the clock ever.
Let them hold because they need to hold so that they can have some offense.
Jets, Raiders, in Las Vegas. The DraftKings Sportsbook line is New York minus one. The over-under is 37. And I really like the Raiders in this game.
Ooh.
And I don't feel like I can push a button because the line is minus one. But if the button meant the Raiders win by three or more, I would be pushing it. I mean, I like the vibe in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Max Crosby is right there with Myles Garrett, is the best defensive player in football. He has wreaked havoc. They played inspired last week. They are great against quarterbacks. And the Jets are bad with their quarterback.
Right. The Jets are bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You expect a lot of interceptions in this game. And right now the strength of, you know, the problem with the Raiders has been their offense, but the strength of their offense is the run game, especially under their new head coach. They talk about to run the ball as much as they can. And that's where the Jets defense has been weak. You can't really pass on the Jets. Their cornerbacks,
not to the wideouts,
are
no.
so good where they can't stop the run quite the same. So Josh Jacobs should have a monster game in this.
Did you guys catch the?
That's great. The interview? That's great to hear.
Because you traded him away.
Yeah, although I do have him in our league. So.
Coach Sala was on a radio program and was asked directly, you know, with all the expectations of this team and what's going on, why do you keep starting Zach Wilson? And his quote was, "I will plead the fifth."
We all knew this was coming.
Everyone but the Jets.
No, I mean, that quote is like, to me, is he protecting himself, saying like, I'm getting orders?
No. So when
I can't ignore.
When I saw the quote, that was what I thought. I was like, oh no, it's gonna be like he's saying I want to go away, but I'm not allowed. But it didn't seem like that. It was really one of those things where he had kind of answered the question already a couple of times. He just doesn't know how else to say it. He says there's a lot involved, and you know, he's just gonna plead the fifth. It was like, I just can't answer.
I tweeted last night that we need to invent some more quarterbacks. It shocks me every year that there's like 15 people on earth that can play quarterback at a high level. And we've gotten more backups this year and more of these experiences. I mean, the Zach Wilson, Aiden O'Connell, Sunday Night Football. I think most people thought this was going to be, you know, you want to ask why it's Sunday night.
Yeah.
This is Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo mm-hmm. matchup, not Aiden O'Connell, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, and now it is the Jets DST versus the Raiders DST.
Yes, and play them both.
Great plays.
Yeah, play the running backs, Breece Hall, Josh Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Play Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams.
Yep. I don't want to play Jacoby Myers. I think that's a very bad play.
Even though he's been significantly better
than
Devontae Adams for.
Well, let me just ask you this, Mike. If you had both on your team and you're putting one into your lineup this week,
I'm putting in Devontae Adams.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying is that real? Like, should it just be that easy to throw away what Jacoby has done?
I think if we're being honest, there you need to take a hard look at benching both of those players, and it is impossible to bench Devontae Adams because of his name. He hasn't been that great. But that's not the reason you bench him. The reason you bench him is because you have a rookie quarterback in Aiden O'Connell going up against this Jets defense that on average over the course of the season is basically giving up about 14 fantasy points per game to the wide receiver position as a whole. And so maybe all 14 go to Devontae Adams.
No, it's very fair.
But
you're really
Devontae's last five games, if you extrapolated it, this is a wide receiver that would have 61 receptions on 120 targets, so that's 50%, for 598 yards and no touchdown.
Yeah, you're desperately hoping you get Keenan Allen's line of 8 for 77 last week against the Jets.
Yes. And the truth is, we start Garrett Wilson because we believe in the talent and the targets will be there, and they come from the worst source. And that's where I'm at with Devontae this week. But I don't look. If you have a better option,
well, let me
Tyler Lockett.
Let me ask. Tyler Lockett's in for me for sure. Christian Kirk is in for me for sure. But let me ask some ones that you go, ooh, I don't do. Would I really do that? If you had Tank Dell or Devontae Adams, where are you going?
I'm going Tank Dell if Nico's out.
I will go Adams in that one.
Calvin Ridley or Devontae Adams.
Oh my gosh!
Against the 49ers. I mean, this is tough, man. This is really tough. I'm going to play Devontae again.
Okay, and
you'll slide that paper across to me after six weeks.
The last one, Marquise Hollywood Brown or Devontae Adams?
Probably Hollywood.
I will say, yeah. These are all great questions. The nice thing about playing Devontae Adams is it's not your fault.
Right.
Like, no, you're right.
You're like, hey, yeah. I put my superstar in. He disappointed. This is not on me. I didn't do anything wrong.
No,
it's
that's
you.
Valuable.
It's you.
That's valuable for your mental
it's
health.
Legit advice.
That's legit advice. You don't, because if you put him on your bench and you play
John
Dotson and then Adams has a couple touchdowns on deep balls,
that's on you.
Let's remember, two games ago, he had two bombs, a 92-yard touchdown and a 60-yard touchdown that were right there. And if I miss that, that's on me.
Yeah.
Good point, Mike. I'm going to make sure I lose with dignity.
I'm going to win with steel underpants.
All right. That's fine. Right. Yeah. Denver, Buffalo, Monday Night Football, the Broncos 3-5, Buffalo's 5-4, Buffalo minus 7. I'm doing it.
Andy's almost upset of the week.
That's the reaction I needed.
On the road.
That's
spicy.
Buffalo's been weird, man. They've been a weird team.
I don't know if you know this, Jay. Denver's been known to be a pretty cold place too.
That's fair.
This isn't the LA team going into the snow.
This is a team in Buffalo that won 14-9 at home against the Giants. Okay? This is a team that lost to Jacksonville at home. Actually, I think that might have been overseas. They were technically the home team. But they've had weird games. And I like what I saw from Denver in their last game. They're coming off the bye, 2 weeks to prepare for Sean Payton. Javonte is looking the part. This is a defense that is not the Buffalo Bills defense of old.
The last 6 weeks, if you look at the schedule-adjusted defense on the course of the season, right, that's usually one of the most valuable things to look at. This is a defense you target. The Broncos have sucked. They're 26th against quarterbacks, 32nd against running backs, 29th against tight ends. That is what Andy's saying, is that's not their defense anymore. We talked about it when it happened. That 70-point game against the Miami Dolphins, it skews the season-long numbers. Over the last 6 weeks, they're the second most difficult matchup for quarterbacks, the second most difficult matchup for wide receivers, top 10 against running backs. Their defense has recovered from the calamity.
So, yes, the Broncos defense has. And yes. I was saying the Bills defense of old is not there anymore. They give up tons of points to both sides of the ball. They've been one of the worst over the last 6 weeks.
So many injuries. They had such a great defense start the year, and then all their great defensive players got injured. It's really sad.
So, look, it doesn't change how you're starting Diggs and Allen and James Cook, and you know Dalton Kincaid has been – peppered with targets. I just think that there's higher odds that this is a really good game, and you kind of see it with, I mean, that over-under is 47. That gives the Denver Broncos 20 points in this game, and the Bills 27. It's prime time. The Bills haven't covered a spread since week 4.
Wow.
So, I mean, you're talking about a weird team right now. And I'm kind of excited for this game. I want to see what happens. I'm trying to give, like, a post-buy olive branch to the Broncos.
Okay.
Because we have lived in the slums with the Broncos prognostication for a long time. And I think they might figure some stuff out here.
I like what you're saying. I think it would be great for Monday Night Football to have a good game out of this. You've got Cortland Sutton, who's had 9-plus fantasy points in all but one game of the season.
That is so absurd and shocking.
Yeah.
It feels like Cortland Sutton is the equivalent of the basketball cherry picker. You know how they just stay back on defense?
Yeah, they don't play D. They're just down there. Throw the ball to him.
I just feel like Sutton just stays in the end zone and just waits.
I'm not moving. Just give me a touchdown.
I don't know how they don't call offsides and stuff, but...
Well, because he sits out of bounds.
Oh, and then steps in?
Yeah.
So he tricks the ref.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think you can play him. Judy has not been good. I think he is okay in this game. I would play Jerry Judy over Gabe Davis.
Oh, let me ask you this. If you had Gabe Davis on your team, Andy...
Asking for a friend.
Would you start him, just generically speaking, do you want to start Gabe Davis this week?
No.
Mike, do you want to start Gabe Davis this week?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
He's looking for two no's.
I know what he's doing.
Let's go to Deucer's Alley here. Owl, would you want to start Gabe Davis this week?
No.
Brooks, would you want to start Gabe Davis this week?
Nope.
Rap, would you want to start Gabe Davis this week?
Nope.
So you freaking fire him up. You put him in the lineup. There was a graph. I don't remember who had this great tweet.
It was like the Gabe Troll Index or something.
The Gabe Troll Index. If you go to Twitter and search Gabe Troll, you'll find it. It is basically all the games where he's been started in more than 30% of ESPN rosters. his totals were like 0, 1 point, 3 points, just absolutely the worst. But all the games that are below that, where he's just not started, he's got like 21.
Shout out to at Stathole Sports, Jeff Rowe.
There it
Gabe
is.
Gabe Davis Fantasy Football Troll of the Year resume.
Yeah. So people aren't starting him.
If he's under 20% started, 21 points, 15 points, 23 points. If he's up over 30% started, 3 points, 1 point, 0 points.
It's unbelievable.
He is the troll.
He is the troll. So you know he's going to be under 30% started this week. So if you've got
but
the
what's
underpants.
Crazy is if everybody gets
right.
gets that resume.
Yeah, we've got a too big an audience. So about half you start him so that we can keep that start percentage under 30%.
Wow. All right. Javonte, like I said, put him in there. James Cook's not been great fantasy-wise. He's just around. It seems like he's more involved than the fantasy points seem to be producing because he doesn't score. Russ Wilson or, you know, the matchup against Buffalo, when you glance at it, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm, you're still scared.
And Russell Wilson, when you glance at him, you're like, I don't want to do that. I put Russell Wilson into my lineup this week in one of my leagues.
I did too.
And to me, this is a guy that should be in consideration with like Geno and Brock Purdy this week. I think Russ could have a game.
Yeah, Russ has been okay. I mean, right now he's the quarterback 15 on the course of the season. He's usually not a top 12 guy. He hasn't had big performances, but he hasn't had more than one flat dud this season. So he's he's been a higher floor, very low ceiling player.
How do you throw three touchdowns and score under 18 points?
You only have 114 passing yards.
That's incredible.
Two injury updates before the face-off. James Conner trending in the right direction. Jamar Chase back at practice again on Friday.
Great. Two important players.
So there you go. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy Face-Off, presented by DraftKings.
All right, into the face-off for Week 10. I'm looking at the stats over the course of the year. I was last place last week. Mm-hmm. Jason was first.
That's right. I'm only
Mike
first,
was second.
First or last.
That means that through 9 weeks, I have finished first, second, and third 3 times each.
Nice.
Jason has finished first 5 times, second 0 times, fourth 4 times. Or third, fourth time. Wait.
Third, 4 times.
4 times. And then Mike is sitting at 162. He is almost always in second place.
I am executing my strategy to perfection.
Yeah. So, look, I'm the loser.
I'm laying up.
Yeah, I am. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be first or last this week. With
go for it? Nah, just I'm gonna
settle in.
Yep,
just be comfortable.
I'm gonna approach the green with caution.
You know, we should really get him on shamed again, Jason.
let's try it.
Let's spin the wheel. I need to pay the piper.
Wheel of shame.
All right, do it. Spin that stupid wheel. Spin it.
All right.
Spin the wheel.
I saw a silly wabbit.
I see win $100,000.
Rainy day. Dobby Lobby?
Oh, toast. Wait, so
toast.
I'm
toast.
A piece
toast.
Of I'm a piece of toast?
You are toast. Mike and I, we basically both won since I was like less than a point away.
So we will also
we
toast.
We are going to toast as well. Mike, hey! Have some champagne.
Hey, I don't mind if I do. Careful.
Oh,
so
good.
You two are toasting
we will toast.
We're toasting our greatness.
What a stupid costume.
This is not our best.
Tell the Foot Clan what happened.
You taught me off here, brother.
Oh, yeah. So this morning, we hid the champagne and the wine flutes down under the table, and we got it all prepped, like taking off the foil and the little golden thingy that's on top of it.
The foil.
Is that? Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the foil.
And so we had it sitting down under
the turtle.
Desk, just hidden away before the show. Andy's in here, and we're just standing and talking, and all of a sudden, pop!
Yeah,
and
it popped.
It ruined the surprise, but I'm still going
to. Every time I turn my head, the toast hits the microphone.
You look like SpongeBob.
yeah, a little bit.
But he's definitely not.
Honestly, I feel like this is the kind of thing I could take this on a plane and get a good sleep in.
Oh, that's like a nice head pillow.
It's like a little, like plain toast. All right, into the lineup we go. Enjoy your champagne, gentlemen.
Yes, cheers. A toast to us, Jason.
Yes.
Clink.
Yeah, clink. Clink. All right. All right, I'll go first. All right. The toast goes first. My quarterback this week bounced around a bunch of options. I went with a $6,700 option.
All right.
Ooh.
And I believe that my lineup is going to be very different from your guys' this week. I'm going with Dak. I'm taking the points.
All right.
Dak at home.
Yeah, we are going to have a different lineup.
Yeah, I know. Heavily favored. I think I know who Jason started at quarterback.
Yeah.
But I am taking Dak at 6,700, and I believe Jason took Kyler Murray.
Oh, you're darn right. I did 5,900 for a quarterback that can put up 20 fantasy points. I will definitely have Kyler Murray in my lineup.
And I have Brock Purdy.
Nice.
At 5,700. So we are live with all of our quarterbacks.
I had Purdy in for a while. He's cheaper than Kyler, and I think he's a better play than Kyler.
I feel like this is the first time all season we've had three different quarterbacks.
We've had that a couple times.
All right.
My running backs, you guys will have to see if you can know who these players are.
Andy's not being punished at all. What is this?
It's super comfortable.
Yeah, I just
like he's relaxing. He's vibing.
I am. I'm chilling. Like I want to put my head down. There's a nice pillow. My running backs: Christian McCaffrey at 9,200.
Okay, all right.
Alvin Kamara at 8,300.
Ah, back to the Kamara.
Yeah.
Okay. I have two completely different running backs. I have Joe Mixon at 6,200. Against Houston, and going with my guy. Against the Cardinals, Bijan Robinson, only $6,000. I think this is his breakout.
I rode with you on that one. So I have Bijan for $6,000, and then I have my start of the week. I got Tony Pollard. So we will be at odds of rooting for touchdowns.
Well, let's just throw the flex out real quick then, because I got Bijan at flex.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
man.
I have Kamara, McCaffrey, and Bijan.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The math does check out.
My flex is not that good. My flex is Kyle Phillips at 3,000.
Oh, that's not bad. My flex
I see
is,
he's your wide receiver.
Yeah, because there's no way you're putting Christian McCaffrey and all that money in there without being cheap. My flex is Jackson Smith and Jigba against the Manders at home.
How much is he?
4,100.
All right. My wide receiver room, this is the one that I did a late pivot this morning. I'm actually, for the first time I think ever that I can remember, I don't have a stack with Dak because I'm just...
Oh, I get it. I get it.
I'm not stacking Dak this week. I have Terry McLaurin against Seattle at 5,800, some guaranteed points at a good price. I have Drake London at 5,500
nice.
Against
okay.
Arizona, healthy, back at it, terrible defense. And then I have Kyle Phillips at 3,000. So that's how I afforded McCaffrey, Kamara, and Robinson.
My wide receivers, I think, are my strength this week. I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's just been a machine.
He's so annoying to play against.
8,300. I've got DeAndre Hopkins at 6,000. It sucks to have him and Kyle Phillips both. You know,
that was my pivot. I pivoted from Hopkins to McLaurin to not double down on Levis.
I get
two
it.
Titans, huh?
Yep, I'm doing it. And Marquise Hollywood Brown to stack with Kyler at 5,200.
All right.
Oh, man, this costume is just so uncomfortable.
Don't ever do this to me again.
Yeah.
How dare you?
These are the
pillow.
Worst kind of costumes.
Well, double annoyed for you, Andy, then, because I'm also playing Amon-Ra St. Brown against the Chargers. I have Noah Brown against the Bengals.
That could be all right.
It could be all right. And then I was waiting on pins and needles. Am I riding alone? I am. Jamar Chase, 8,300. I'm not going to fear the back injury. T. Higgins will be out. We're seeing at least 10 targets for Chase this week.
So I'm the only one with Christian McCaffrey, right?
Correct.
Yes.
That has worked out well for me in the past. My final two players, my tight end and my defense, I had to spend bare bones. I am a big fan of the Tampa matchup. That's why you have Hopkins in there. That's why we have Kyle Phillips in there. And that's why I went Chig Okonkwo, who is running a ton of routes right now.
Cardio King.
So I have Chig and Phillips at 3,000 each. So those are basement level.
So you have two Titans.
I have two Titans.
Oh.
Yeah, very nice. Okonkwo. And then I have the Cardinals. I have the Cardinals at 2,500. I
get it.
I don't like their defense, but I do like Heineke making mistakes.
And, I mean, got to root for it, man.
Yeah, and at home.
Anti-Arthur.
Yeah.
No, totally. I pivoted to the Cardinals this morning, but I went back away. I have for
you
the first
Cincinnati?
Time. For the first time this season, I paid up.
You paid up for a defense?
I paid up for a defense. Four.
Did you get Dallas?
400. Dallas? I'm playing the Cowboys.
Wow. That could be a
Giants.
Problem for us.
And I paid up at tight end. So this is the opposite of how I usually build. I've got TJ Hockenson there for 5,000. Now, should something come out about the snap count or being limited or if he's out with the rib injury, he says he's likely to play.
So what's your,
my pivot will be the Dr. Schultz.
What's your tight end defensive total?
My tight end defensive total is 9,400.
Yeah, and I'm at 5,500.
All right. At tight end, I have T. McBee. Got Trey McBride in there for the first game with Kyler. And I have the Bengals, the Cincinnati Bengals at home against C.J. Stroud. Love Stroud, but when he's on the road against a tough matchup, I have no problem playing against a rookie.
That was my favorite cheap option in defense of Cincinnati because they were just, what are they, 2,800 or something?
2,800, correct.
This feels like the most open different lineups we've had in totality.
All right, that was Fantasy Faceoff presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use the promo code BALLERS to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That is the code BALLERS only at DraftKings Sportsbook. That is going to do it for today's show. I got to get out of this super uncomfortable costume you guys put me into.
This pillow.
Maybe steal some of that champagne. And catch Mike Sunday live, ballerslive.com, before the games.
Goodbye.
For listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.